What's harder to get rid of than termites and hurts more than a toothache? Hi, I'm Rob West. A certain group of people will tell you it's a timeshare. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but now it's just another budget buster. I'll give you your options for getting out of a timeshare today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, you steady listeners know it's a question we get fairly often, but I want to go into a little more detail today. How do I get out of my timeshare? You actually have several options, although none of them are great. In a perfect world, you'd sell your timeshare for enough to get your money back. That's not going to happen. If anyone has done it, please call us because we'd love to hear how you did it. Seriously. Now, just why is a timeshare so difficult to sell or get rid of at all for that matter? Well, for most potential buyers, it lacks a clear need. You can book a week at a similar resort anytime you want without a huge upfront cost and monthly fees. So there are few customers out there to buy your timeshare. Also, let's face it, timeshares have a significant public relations problem. Most people don't like the high-pressure sales tactics typically used by the companies that sell them. So timeshares in general have a badly tarnished brand image. Before you attempt to sell your timeshare, you should get all the information you can about the process, and the best source we know is the Timeshare Users Group, or TUG. You can find them at TUG2.com. That's T-U-G, the number 2.com. This is a community of timeshare owners who offer advice and share their experiences. The membership fee is $15 a year, and it's probably well worth it. Now, if you try to sell it on your own, you need to have a realistic idea of what it's worth, and that's almost certainly a lot less than what you paid. Next, you'll have to advertise, and TUG has an online marketplace that's probably the most active site you'll find for buying and selling a timeshare. But you can also try eBay, Craigslist, Facebook, and newspaper classified ads. Once you find a buyer, if you find a buyer, you'll need to write up a contract that specifies what each party must do and what they receive from the transaction. It would be wise to get an attorney to draw up the contract. Okay, let's say you've been unsuccessful in selling your timeshare. If you've given up hope for getting any return on your money, you can simply ask the resort to take it back. It's called a timeshare deed back, and if the resort agrees, it's an inexpensive way to get rid of it. You'll probably need to have paid the entire cost of the timeshare, which could run around $24,000, so that would have to be a last resort. Your next option is to use a so-called timeshare exit company. This one can be tricky because there's a lot of scams out there. You'll want to find one with a track record of helping people get out of their timeshare and be sure to ask for referrals. There's one more option for getting out from under a timeshare, and that's to go with a contract attorney. You want to find one that's experienced in getting folks out of a timeshare. It can happen because these companies don't always keep their end of the bargain and are found in breach of contract. Now, you're probably wondering what some of these options might cost you. If you're able to sell your timeshare, you'll probably have several hundred dollars in advertising fees. You'll also lose the difference between what you paid and what you'll sell it for, which will likely be substantial. If you go with a timeshare exit company, costs often start around $5,000 and could go well over $10,000. Hiring an attorney could cost you nearly as much. Now, here are some of the don'ts. Don't go with any timeshare exit company that makes extravagant claims that they can get you released from your timeshare for a low cost. If the company asks for payment up front, head for the door. Also, don't go with any company that suggests you do anything illegal or, in our case as believers, anything that would dishonor God. Here's another don't. It might be very tempting to just stop making payments. That will result not only in being endlessly harassed by the timeshare company or some collection agency, it will ruin your credit and may result in foreclosure. You've also signed a contract, pledged your word that you'd pay this money, and the Bible is pretty clear about your obligation. In Psalm 327, it reads, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." So as I said, you have a few options for getting rid of a timeshare, but the easiest way of all is not to buy one in the first place. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Letter writing is fascinating. Not just the slow process of sharing your heart with another, only to wait for them to reciprocate, but how you know where a letter is from the second you see it. In the ancient world, it was wax, melted wax put on folded paper and then pressed with a unique seal. Further back, it was soft clay wrapped around a tablet and marked with a distinctive seal. The wax, the clay, could have been anyone's, but once pressed, it was marked. My mind goes to Paul. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, marked, sealed by the renewing of your mind. We were his wax. By Christ, he marked us as his own. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner from timeshares. That's right, let's leave those behind, unless you have a question. But we'll open it up to any financial topic today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear whatever you're thinking about financially. We'll encourage you. Our promise is to bring you principles that we find in God's Word to help you move forward with confidence and make the next best decision. We'd also love to hear your stories and testimonies today. Perhaps you'd like to share an encouraging word about how God has shown His faithfulness in your life. Maybe you've been applying these principles for a long, long time, and you'd like to give testimony to that. We'd love to hear from you as well. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Lines are filling up quickly, so let's dive in. We're going to begin today with Ron in Arkansas. Go ahead, sir. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. My question is, we're trying to work out our income tax. I'll be 82 in 36 more days. My parents had given me a lot out of this county when I was very young. I've never done anything with them. And my younger brother, I gifted that to him and his wife this past year. And before they went on a mission to Argentina, they gifted us an amount of about $8,000. Mm-hmm. And my wife was wondering how to handle that on income tax.
Yeah, very good. So with regard to your 2022 taxes, Ron, let's first look at the lot that you gifted to your brother. Did you do just a quit claim deed to gift it to him? Is that how you did that?
I think so.
Okay.
And we may have. It seems like they said we need to do $1 or $10 or something, or
okay.
I don't remember exactly what we put on the contract.
Yeah, very good. But you legally transferred that property to him. Now, if that lot was worth more than $16,000 in 2022, because that was the annual gift exemption, then it's still not taxable to you or to him. You would just declare it in your tax return on IRS gift form 709. And what that's going to do, Ron, is just take the portion of that lot's value that was beyond the $16,000 annual exclusion, and that will then apply toward your lifetime gift exclusion or exemption of $12 million. So unless you plan to give away more than $12 million in your lifetime, you're never going to pay any federal tax on it. You're just going to have to let the IRS know that you did it. And given that that was, not an arm's length transaction, there was a family member involved, it was obviously clearly a gift and not a sale, then that full amount of the lot's value as of the time you transferred it, which you could establish with an appraisal and so forth, would need to be reported to the IRS. And again, that would just go that against that annual lifetime exemption of $12.06 million, and you're not going to pay any tax on it whatsoever. The gift that they sent to you of $8,000, they would be responsible for, but there's not going to be any taxes there either, because they could, give you $6,000 or $16,000 last year. If it happened this year, they could give you $17,000, and you don't even have to tell the IRS about it, because you could give that amount annually without even disclosing it.
Okay. Hold on just a minute. But I believe on the income tax papers, it asks if there's been any real estate transactions or anything. But these lots were out in the country and probably weren't worth over $10,000 or $12,000 at the most.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. So you would just want to establish the market value and be able to defend that to the IRS if there was ever any question. But given the amount that we're talking about, it, you probably don't even need to file the gift tax form. But what I would just check with the CPA when you're doing your return. Do you normally do your return yourself, Ron?
We've been using a CPA.
Okay, yeah. So you'll just let that individual know what you did last year. But again, there's not going to be any taxes due on this. You're just going to want to make sure you handle the filing correctly.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ron. Thank you for calling, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Looks like we have one line open. Let's head to Georgia. Hey, Ronnie, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to make it short and sweet on this. I have an RA, and it's with LPL holds the fund.
Sure.
Okay. I received a letter from them a while back, and they said that any funds that was, wasn't a value that they could do away with. Is that pretty much so?
Well, yeah. So these are basically worthless securities. They have no market value to them. What is it they're asking you to do?
Well, like I said, they're talking about the bond fund, I guess, basically. The government bonds, they can just say, well, they're worth nothing, and we can do away with them. The government doesn't secure the bonds.
Oh, yeah. A U.S. government bond is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. I mean, if you hold it to maturity, you'll absolutely get your money. So I would be a little confused about that if that's what you're talking about, government bills, bonds, and notes. You certainly could have a worthless stock or a bond, but not a government bond. So I would get a little bit more information from LPL. Do you have an advisor that you go through?
I have an advisor, yes, and I haven't really confronted with that situation since I got that letter, but I just don't trust them. I've had several advisors, and they seem like they always shortchange me.
Well, I can tell you that LPL is a very reputable, one of the largest independent companies, brokerages in the country. They have about 21,000 advisors, very well run. In fact, the CEO I know personally is a committed Christ follower. Obviously, you need to find an advisor, though, that is a good fit for you, that you have high trust in, that's going to communicate with you well, that's going to help you not only with the planning, if you need that, but also with the investment management in the way that fits your goals and age and risk tolerance and so forth. And if you'd like to make a change on that, you could certainly look for a certified Kingdom advisor in your area. That's the designation that we recommend for advisors that have met high standards in not only character and competence, experience, but also they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. At our website, faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, you could click find a CKA and do a zip code search. I'd interview two or three. But Ronnie, I think the big idea here in terms of this particular issue is just take that paperwork you were sent by LPL, take that to your advisor, and have the advisor explain to you what was being communicated and what you need to do. I think the bigger issue is just getting situated with an advisor that you feel really good about moving forward. And, you know, that can change periodically. And so perhaps it's time for a change. But I'd get some more information about this letter, and your advisor is the first place to turn. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to give us a call back. God bless you, my friend. We're going to take a quick break. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. More of your calls just around the corner. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for? We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm a faithful listener.
Wherever you are, however you listen, we'd love to hear your AFR story.
I now believe, I actually do believe in Christ, and I'm just so grateful.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Have we encouraged your faith? Have we taught you something? Call today so we can do the same for others. That's 877-876-8893.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org. Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. The number to call today with your comments, questions, perhaps even testimonies, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Hey, just a reminder, this month we're featuring a new resource called Business God's Way to help you learn what God says about operating a business and handling money. It's a really helpful guide for everyone in business, whether you're a CEO, a manager of a department, a small business, or large or prosperous, and maybe even struggling. No matter where you find yourself, this could be a great resource for you. You can request a copy of this book, Business God's Way, with a gift of any amount to FaithFi. Just simply head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click the Give button. It would go a long way to helping us continue our work here as a listener-supported ministry, serving God's people with stewardship resources, this broadcast each day, and a host of other offerings from FaithFi. Again, to support the work, faithfi.com, just click Give. And thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones we go to Georgia. Hi, Joshua. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. West. I have two quick questions. I heard last week that Moody's investors downgraded our banking system from positive to negative. So, and I belong to a credit union. Is my money still secure? Two, what's the difference between a credit union and a bank? Could you please explain that real quick, please? Thank you.
Yeah,
and have a blessed day.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Joshua. We appreciate your call today. And you're right. Moody's Investor Services did cut its outlook for the U.S. banking system from negative to negative from stable. And that was just as a result of the run on the banks at these regional banks, a couple in particular, Silvergate Capital, SVB Financial Group, and Signature Bank. Those were the three lenders that collapsed in less than a week. Obviously, the regulators stepped in and announced that all depositors of both SVB and Signature would be made whole. And, you know, just the decline, though, over a very short period of time in the bank depositor and investor confidence precipitated this action. And it's really highlighting, I think, just some concern over these very specific banks that relate to the asset liability management of their U.S. government bond holdings in particular that have been declining in value as interest rates have been rising. Now, obviously, the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve, and the FDIC took really extraordinary measures to shore up confidence, and that's why even the regional banks are rallying today on the market. Also, over the weekend, we saw Credit Suisse rescued by UBS, and that's obviously providing some further confidence in the system. So I think, you know, as to the question, is there a concern just for the average person who's either with a regional bank or a credit union? No, I don't think so. I think what we're seeing right now is just an issue that's going to relate to a specific subset of regional banks that are very highly concentrated. In the case of Silicon Valley Bank, very highly concentrated in a high growth sector in the tech sector with a lot of folks that were just launching new businesses, needing a lot of cash. And as we head toward the prospect of a recession and we have higher interest rates, they're having to pull deposits out, which required the bank to sell stocks and then ultimately sell some of their government holdings, bond holdings, that when they sold at a loss required them to raise capital. And that then caused this, really quick run on that particular bank. And that's going to bring further scrutiny to other banks that might not have managed their risk portfolios well, or might be highly concentrated in a sector of the economy that's susceptible to these high interest rates and the prospect of a recession. That is not typical. These are anomalies, and that's why you're seeing the market rally like it is. Bottom line is credit unions are not-for-profit financial institutions owned by their members, and the funds held in a credit union are insured by the NCUA, the National Credit Union Administration, up to $250,000, just like the FDIC. Both come with the full backing of the full faith and credit in the United States government. So as long as you're under $250,000 per institution and per account type, then I wouldn't worry about that. In fact, I think the action this week, even though we've got some concerning longer-term trends that we're going to have to deal with in this country economically, I think in the near term, you can be confident that the government has indicated they're absolutely going to fully backstop and protect those guarantees up to $250,000. They went beyond that in the case of these two banks. I don't think we can expect that moving forward, and Janet Yellen made that clear last week. But they will guarantee that $250,000. So for me, I would be confident that you're going to get your money and the government's going to provide liquidity, even in the very limited cases where these banks are in trouble. And I think that's going to be just really just in a very small sector of our economy. So thanks for your call today. We appreciate the question. It's a good one, and it's something we'll continue to watch for sure. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Texas. Hi, John. Go right ahead, sir.
My question is related to the last question in a way. It has to do with the velocity of money and the short-term loans that financial institutions extend to one another.
Yeah.
I noticed that the rule changed from weekly to daily. They were allowed to swap money daily. And I'm just curious what this is going to impact with respect to inflation and how that will ultimately impact interest rates at the financial institutions for people that have mortgages that were thinking of paying it off or taking a new one.
Yeah. Well, the biggest factor here is that the Fed has become the driver of this economy. They're now the largest investor in the world by virtue of their balance sheet and their purchasing, investment holdings, and also their control over interest rates. And so that's really going to be the driver as to where rates go in the future as they set the Fed funds rate. That's something we're going to have to continue to watch. I think the key is how intent they are at getting inflation back to their target of 2%. If they insist on getting all the way back to 2%, we're in for quite a bit of pain because they're going to have to keep these interest rates elevated, and we're already seeing some of the fallout of that right now. I've got to take a quick break. We can talk a bit more off the air, John, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor?
The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, I was talking to John off the air just a moment ago, and we were talking about just what's going on in our economy right now. I think one of the challenges, clearly, that we've got to address is just this debt and budget deficit that we're facing here in this country. You know, the latest CBO, Congressional Budget Office report said we added $3.1 trillion to the debt. The last time they reported, it was at $1.5 trillion. And so obviously we're adding to the debt at an increasing rate. You know, we've got basically 130% debt to GDP right now, which, you know, when we look at that on top of a $2 trillion annual budget deficit, is it concerning? Absolutely. Now, that's a 6 or 7% deficit. Is that manageable? Sure, it is, especially with the largest and strongest economy in the world here in the United States. You know, when we saw the emerging market crisis in the 90s, you know, those were typically at 10 to 20% deficits. So I don't think a debt crisis, a default, is the base case in the short run, despite, you know, the debt ceiling question we'll have this summer. But it's becoming a problem. And now I think it's very plausible that in the investment horizon down the road, we certainly could have that. In 2 or 3 years, the interest on our debt will be the largest part of our budget, which is concerning. And the all of this reporting is being done not with normal interest rates. It's instead relying on suppressed interest rates, which is in fact inflationary, which is why, you know, we're experiencing what we have going on right now. So what do we need? Well, we need fiscal restraint and good monetary policy and pro-growth policies as well. One of the challenges we have, though, is that, you know, when Reagan and Volcker dealt with this, we had a growing workforce. That's no longer the case. We've got, for every 2 people entering the workforce, 5 that are retiring. And so, you know, we've got a challenge ahead of us, I think, to deal with that. Now, if we have the right policies and we have the right immigration strategy and we have the right innovation, which clearly we have the ability to do here in this country, certainly we could pull our way out of this. I think we just got to be smart about it and put the right people in office. So clearly we have some challenges ahead. I don't think that's near term, and I don't think this banking crisis is going to spiral out of control. In fact, I don't think it's a crisis. I think it's very limited. But we've got some big issues we've got to address as we move forward, and that's obviously going to come by putting the right folks in office who understand God's design for economies and wealth creation and valuing people and human life and the dignity of human life, and that we were created to be workers, and with that productivity, taking God's creation and reordering it and improving it, we see economic expansion and growth and the ability to be generous, which calibrates us to the Father. I mean, that's the biblical worldview of economics and wealth creation that God intended when he created us to be workers and to be productive. So Lord willing, we'll have people in the days ahead that understand that and can make decisions accordingly in this country with regard to our economy. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Ohio. Hey, Brian, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rob. Hey, I've got a question. Somebody was telling me that, like, I'm planning on retiring. I'm almost 62. I'm thinking about retiring here maybe this year. But they said your Social Security is affected even if you pull money out of your Roth IRA. I got a 401 Roth, which it's already been pre-taxed. So I was kind of surprised about that. And then also I have farm income that comes in through rent money every year, once a year. And I didn't know, I was just kind of surprised if, do those things, because are they considered wages, or how does that work in my scenario? And then also, I noticed that the Social Security almost doubles from the time you're 62 to you turn 70 if you can wait that long. Just thought of your respect on that.
Yeah, very good. So distributions from Roth IRAs are not taxable and therefore won't cause Social Security benefits to be taxable. So that's not an issue. Obviously, if you continue to earn wages, that would be applied to you if you are taking benefits before full retirement age. Are you planning to collect prior to full retirement age?
I was planning on maybe just using some of that money from the Roth, and if I hear you understanding, that there would not contribute towards the 20-some thousand you're allowed to earn, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So if your total income is more than $25,000 for an individual, $32,000 for a married couple filing jointly, that's when you have to pay federal income taxes on your Social Security benefits. So you'd pay up to taxes on up to 50% of your benefits if your income is between 25 and 34 for an individual, 32 and 44 for a married couple. Up to 85% of your benefits would be taxable if you're over 34 for an individual or over 44,000 for a couple. But that's not going to be impacted by a Roth distribution. That would be for the wages that you earn. And that's, you know, always going to be the case.
And one more quick question, and your pension would not be included in that, correct? Your income?
Your pension income with regard to your Social Security taxes?
Yes, with regard to Social Security, yeah, would not affect.
Yeah, so pension payments, annuities, and interest or dividends from your savings and investments are not earnings for Social Security purposes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, very good. That's what I always would have thought, but I heard something different. I thought, well, you'd be the guy to clarify that with.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So the other question that you raised here, which I think is an important one, is related to how, you know, when you start collecting. And if you start collecting at 62, you're going to take about a 32% haircut off of what you would get at full retirement age. And then for every year you wait beyond full retirement age, you're going to get 8% or 1/12 of 8% every month up to age 70. So really that just comes down to, you know, your life expectancy, which obviously no one knows except the Lord. But if you're in good health and you've got longevity in your family, and by waiting, you have the ability to wait because you're continuing to work full or part-time, or you have other income sources you can draw from, I like that guaranteed 8% increase that you will collect back over time in the form of a higher check. You know, typically it's going to take about 12 years, for instance, if you wait till age 70 versus full retirement age to get that, get repaid for the money you gave up, but then you enjoy that higher check for the rest of your life. So if that's going to help to close a gap perhaps that exists in, you know, what you need to fund your lifestyle by getting that check up with that higher guaranteed benefit amount for the rest of your life, I kind of like that. Obviously, if you don't have other options and you need the money, then you're going to need to take it earlier. But if you've, you know, you're healthy, I think there's a case to be made for waiting.
Well, thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. I am pretty healthy. I feel really good, and things are all checking out really well. Not any medicine. So, hey, I appreciate your time and your being able just to give me peace of mind at the direction I think I was headed. I think I'm going to go there and go from there.
Sounds great. Listen, Brian, thanks for calling today. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000. We're going to take a quick break. Sherry, we're coming your way just after the break. Perhaps your question as well. Do you have a question or maybe a testimony today? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. Hey, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. It's an incredible money management tool. You'll find broadcast archives and our FaithFi community, where stewards just like you are asking and answering each other's questions. You can download it today in your app store. Search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Before we head back to the phones, we're joined each Monday by our friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He joins us each week with his market outlook for the week. And Bob, boy, a lot moving even over the weekend with the news about UBS and Credit Suisse. Regional banks rallying today alongside a market rally, not in the tech sector, but certainly the Dow Jones and the S&P. What are you looking at as we start a new week?
Well, first of all, you nailed it. Today is a reversal of what we've witnessed the last week or so. Question is that just a dead cat bounce, or is the rally in financials some sign that things are improving and the regulators and authorities are getting their arms around this? Look, I do not think this is systemic like we faced in 08, 09, where we had massive credit problems. The financial system, believe it or not, Rob, is healthier than it's been in a long time. That doesn't mean we don't have excesses. That doesn't mean we don't have asset liability mismatches, as we saw with Silicon Valley Bank. But the underlying financial system is in pretty good shape. I'm not sure we're out of the woods yet, but this is a nice pause that refreshes. We need to see the public accepting what the authorities are doing in terms of guaranteeing deposits above that $250,000 level so that banks can get on with it and the confidence can slowly come back. That's at issue at the moment.
Yeah. Bob, was this really just related to a few banks that were in the wrong sector, in the case of SVB, high growth tech sector, and perhaps a mismanaged portfolio of risky assets?
Yeah, it was mostly the latter, the former played, but the asset liability mismatch kind of did that bank in. There are others that are similar, but if obviously lots of people have done a lot of research. If you stack rank banks on that, Silicon Valley was clearly an outlier. And we get past that, and people realize that, and perhaps we can get back to some sort of normalcy for the banking system.
Yeah. Bob, obviously all eyes on the Fed now. The million-dollar question is, does any of this affect kind of their pace of tightening and interest rate increases?
So as we've talked before, Rob, what is happening with the financial crisis is doing some of the Fed's work for them, quote unquote, meaning it's helping to slow down the economy. A crisis, a loss of confidence certainly slows economic growth. So I don't know, is it worth 50 or 100 basis points to the Fed? A fair amount. 2 weeks ago, the guess was they would raise rates 50 basis points. Now it's a debate between will they raise them 25 or not at all. My guess is 25 makes sense. If the Fed does nothing, they're sort of indicating they're done, and inflation's still running 5.5%, 6% on a trailing 12-month basis, and would also perhaps cause people to say, maybe they know something I don't know lurking in the shadows with the banking system. So I think the safe bet, quote-unquote, is 25.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, Bob. So at this point, just kind of given everything we know here in the middle of March versus the beginning of the year, are you still thinking that a mild recession is the direction we're headed?
I do, Rob. You know, when that starts, who knows? But the events of the last couple of weeks only raise that probability of a recession at some point in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah. All right, Bob, what about the rest of the world? Obviously, we're watching as China's leader is landing in Russia today and just a lot of geopolitical tensions going on. What are you seeing internationally?
You know, so economically, Europe and China are doing okay, better than expected. But to your point, the geopolitics of all this, it's a scary world. I mean, it's always scary, but the way people are lining up and the opposite sides kind of taking their position and putting their fists up and their guns up, this is just not good news. I'm thankful that God is on his throne and in control, but down here on this planet, it's not much fun at the moment, Rob.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bob. Well, we're grateful that you remind us that where our trust needs to lie, and it's certainly not in the things of this world, as it seems like every
Amen.
Week there's some sort of reminder of that truth. All right, my friend, all the best to you, and we'll look forward to having you back next week.
I look forward to that. Goodbye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly market commentary called Dahl's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones. Let's get to as many questions as we can here between now and the end of the program. To Mississippi, is it Sherry?
Cherry,
thanks for calling. Go ahead.
My husband was a retired postal service.
Yes, ma'am.
He passed away almost 4 years ago. He had most of his savings that he made during the years he worked in the Thrift Savings Program, TSP.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's where I've left it. And I just am concerned as to whether or not that is a safe place for it to be. It's a considerable amount of money. Yeah. I won't draw until I'm 70 and a half. And okay. I really want it for my grandchildren.
Yes, ma'am.
I really want the money to be left to them. I don't plan to use it.
Sure. Do you know which of the investments you're in inside that TSP? There's the G fund, the C, the I. There's several investment options there. Do you know which one you're in?
He is in the one that there's no risk. It's just an interest bearing.
Okay. Yeah, so he's probably in the G fund, which is the government securities. Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, one-year return on that's a little better than 3%, 3 years about 2%. Mm-hmm. So you're not earning a whole lot, but it's very safe. And I think just in terms of the safety of that overall, being in that TSP, I wouldn't have any problem with you staying there. I think the key is, you know, whether or not you want to invest this a bit or whether you want to stay, you know, right where you are. Yeah. Obviously, you could do better, you know, and still stay in, guaranteed assets like CDs, right now with a 15-month certificate of deposit inside an IRA, which you could roll this to. You could earn 5% right now instead of, you know, about 3% year over year. So there are other options without taking any risk. But if it's simpler just to leave it right here and you're just wondering about the safety of the thrift savings plan, I don't have any problem with you continuing to do that. The other thing, Cherry, I think I would mention is you mentioned that you're going to have to start taking this money out at some point. What did you say your age was today?
66.
Okay. So the required minimum, the required minimum distribution now doesn't start until age 73. So you've got quite a bit of time there. And when it does, you can do what's called a qualified charitable distribution. So the money you're currently giving or would plan to give to your church or other ministries out of your own cash, out of savings or your income, you could give from the IRA or from the TSP if you roll it to an IRA and satisfy that required minimum, and that money would go straight to your church or other ministries, and you could replace the money you were going to give out of your own cash. So that's a way for you not to have to recognize that as income, meet that required minimum, and bless a ministry or charity at the same time. But you've got several years before you have to start thinking about that. In the meantime, I think you're in fine situation right where you're at.
Okay. Thanks so much.
All right, Cherry. Thanks for calling today. God bless you. Let's head to Texas. Hi, John. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, I had a question regarding one of the previous gentlemen had a question regarding teachers. My wife has a teacher's retirement account, so a pension, and I guess we're confused on whether or not that's taxable or not.
Oh, it's definitely taxable. We were just talking about whether it counts towards earnings for Social Security with regard to making your Social Security benefits taxable.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. We heard something different, but apparently we're on the right track.
Okay, very good. Thanks for your call, John. Quickly to Mississippi. Hi, Gene. You'll be our final caller today. Go right ahead.
Hello. I would like to ask a question. I'm 84, and I retired in 95. And I have all of my stock in AT&T.
Yes, ma'am.
And I received a letter last week from Warner Brothers that they are going out or something, I'm not how to explain it, and I just wonder, should I roll that over into an IRA, all of my stock?
Yeah, I would love for you to be more diversified. You're highly concentrated in one position, and that's just pretty risky because if that one company has a challenge or a bad quarter or, you know, is out of favor because of the particular sector they're in, it just makes your portfolio a lot more volatile than if you're properly diversified across a lot of investments and where you have a good mix of stocks and bonds that are appropriate for your age. Let's do this, Gene. I'm I'm going to have my team get your information, and I'll reach out to you and see if I can help you navigate this a little more directly, just because there's a lot of moving pieces here and I'm out of time. So you stay on the line. Pat will get your information and we'll be in touch with you real soon. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful to come alongside you each day to encourage you, to challenge you to think about God's way of handling money, and to answer your financial questions. I couldn't do this without my amazing team, Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. In the meantime, if you'd like to support the work here at Faith and Finance, you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click give and check out the FaithFi app while you're there. Just click the app tab to learn more. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.